Okay, we're picking up from the top of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored by Lenishmas Shalom Espas Yaakov. I apologize about yesterday. Baruch Hashem, it's still been his mind. I had to go somewhere in the morning. I thought I'd be back. People were on record. I was unfortunately not able to. So hopefully, I should have been trying my best this week, but already next week for sure is back to normal. This week, hopefully, I think I should be also be able to do every day. I am here to Hashem, I hope. So let's start. Anyway, so Daf Chaf, we're in the middle of a question between the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. We had two braces. And the Gemara points out, again, top of Chaf Amud Aleph, Kasha de Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Akiva. We have a Kasha between the first Braisa and the second Braisa of Rabbi Akiva, because Hasam Amar Mechika Me'akla, in the first Braisa, he tells us that what is the point that forces us to make her drink the water, the bitter water, is when you erase the Megillah, when you erase the scroll, that is when, with the water, that is when you are going to be chayev. So as long as it hasn't been erased, so the fact that she's refusing to drink, we don't force her to continue with it. She has to get a divorce and she loses her ksuva, but we don't force her to drink. Whereas in the second Braisa, he tells us that the offering of the Komets is the Iker. Meaning that the fact that you erased the Megillah does not automatically force her to drink unless the Komets was offered. That's the second Braisa. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's Treitanei Aliba Derbi Akiva, the Dochak answer, which we don't like to give so often, which is what we're saying is that really two different people, that, you know, it happens in Bisman HaZeh. You'll have two different Talmidim, Rav Moshe Weinstein, you know, telling us that he said two different things, or Rav Yashuv, whoever it may be, Begitolim. Sometimes it happens, they say things, sometimes it's not 100% clear what their intention was, or maybe they themselves changed their mind, whatever it might be. And that's what happened over here, in two different time, argued, they were in the base Medrash of Rabbi Kiva, and they argued, what did Rabbi Kiva really tell us? Okay, now let's go back there. Ibailahu. Amra eni shosa machmas bir yusa. Bechazer amar shosa ani. Ma, what's the halacha if she says, I'm not drinking, versus I'm not drinking? Not because she's scared or because she's being agitated, but just she's just doing that, she was sure she was not drinking. And then she changed her mind, she said, I'm going to drink. What's the halacha over there? Would Rabbi Akiva tell us that we're allowed her to drink willingly or not? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and the Braisa, right, it's postured that it never is an admission of being guilty when she does that. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara assumes it's never postured that she'd be able to retract this the fact that she said no, and now she'd be allowed to drink. That's pashut. The Gemara is only asking Aliba Derbi Akiva. The Gemara says, Kevan Damra Eini Shoisa, do we say that once she says, I will not drink? Tmea Anika Amra, she's saying, I am Tame. The Kevan de Achzik Nafsha Betuma. And once she has established herself as being Tame, Lomat Sajabet, she no longer can retract that. Odilma, Kevan Damra Shosani, Galyadai, the Machma Susa Yida Amra. And now the fact that she says she's willing to drink, so that shows us, Lamafreya shows us, retroactively, that her intention was that when she originally said she wasn't drinking, that was only out of the fact that she was very agitated, and that's why she said she was not drinking. And therefore, that comes out that she would be allowed to drink. So the Gemara says, Teiku. We're not exactly sure about this question. Says the Gemara, Vayta Amar Avua Deshmuel. Tzarech Sheiten Mar Lotoch HaMayim. You have to put something bitter, actually physically bitter, into the water. My Tama, because the Pasuk says, Damar Kram, Me Amarim. It says it has to be the bitter water. Not that afterwards it became, we look at it as bitter because she died from it. Rather, it implies Shemarim Kvar, that already had been bitter, and that's why the Torah calls it bitter, and that's why over here a person has to make sure that you put something bitter into it so that it actually tastes bitter. Fine. Now it's Mishnah. Ad shel nimcha Megillah, before the Megillah was erased, Amra eni shoisa, she says, I'm not going to drink. Megillah sanignezes. So then this parchment that you wrote on the thing for her is you have to do it, put in geniza. Right, you have to bury it. You have to put in geniza, just like you would for any davar hektish. So you have to put in, and you can't just throw it on the ground. Right, you have to have shem hashem in it. You have to put in geniza. Minchas mispareses al deshen, and the mincha is already. All right, we have to be assuming right now that it already is mekudesh beklishares. So that's what we saw before. Only at that point would you then have to put it on aladeshen and right in front of the ashes, because it was already had kedushas goof, and therefore you cannot get rid of it, you can't be put it, and therefore you have to scatter it and get rid of it. The lechora, this is a very interesting point. If the Tana follows the Shita, as we saw before, Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Shimon on yesterday's daf, so then this could be the regular way that this is being carried out. However, if the Tana is holding like the Rabbana, then it's a little bit more difficult. You have to assume that the Kohanim went out of order, and they actually were Mekadesh it too early before they sowed the drink, which is not the right way to do it. And that is how the Rishonim point out that could actually fit with them as well. Either way, so then that's the halacha. And you're not allowed to give that same Megillah. Why don't you just keep it and use it for the next time there's a sota, so that it doesn't work. That is, we're going to see, because it says, Asola Allah HaKohen. It has to be for her. It has to be for her. We learn out as Lishma. Nimchaga Megillah, if it was erased, and V'amar Tmeh Ani, and it's right by putting it into the water, already was erased. And now she says, I'm Tameh, Hamayim Nishbachim. The water is actually poured out. We don't force her to drink. It was already, it was erased, but she already confessed. The water is just, that's the whole purpose of the water, is to ascertain what her status is. Not dafka to kill her. Not, the punishment is supposed to be a deterrent to make her realize that she should be admitting it. But if she admits it anyway, so even if it was there, then it did what the waters that accomplished what it was supposed to do. So there, even though you erase Shem Hashem, this is something which is going to, we don't force you to drink at this point, because there really is no, it's not really the ikar point as a punishment. That's what you see over here. And that's the halacha over here. And that would be the case. You don't have to continue. However, in minchas and brazal base, and also, right, assuming that the mincha is nakadish with klisharis, so then you put it on, the ashes, that would be here again, this was in the regular order, according to the other Tanaim, you know, it could be out of order necessarily, but it's still kasher b'dievid for sure. So that's why it would be that case. And however, what if she says, Nimchaga Megillah ve'amrat eini shoisa? So the Megillah was erased, and now she says, I'm not drinking. So she's keeping it status quo. She's not saying she's guilty, she's saying, I'm not drinking. So then we force her. Ma'ari nosa mashke nosa bal karcha. At that point, we give her water, we force the water down her throat, and we force it against her will. We're going to see, we have like this clay, like this iron thing that we make keep her mouth, forced her mouth open, and we force put it in, similar to what we have to do for someone who's a chayav strefa. You have to put it in their mouth. They're not going to willingly take something that kills them, the boiling lead. So we force her mouth open. Eini mesavekas lishtos, she doesn't even finish drinking. Ad shepanei morikos v'nei boltos v'hi mismales gidin. So her face begins to like bulge out, and her eyes are bulged. Everything is going out of whack. V'hi mismales gidin. Her veins are protruding outward. V'hi omrim. And then the witnesses see this happening. Hotzia shelo tamet azara. Take her out, that she should be metame the azara. She's going to die here. So therefore, it was really Shar Nikner, not exactly the azara. They talk about this. So that would be anyway. We want to get her out before she dies and metame things over there. Now the Mishnah continues. Im yesh azchus, if she had azchus, she was a very nice lady before she did this ma'aseh. She did other things. She did chesed, whatever it may have been. Ha'aseh tolala. So it can delay her death. It could delay her death, and that's going to be a shiloh. Rabbi Shimon's going to disagree this whole point, because then how do you ever know if every time you see the woman who's not guilty, right, and then she drinks it, you're going to say, oh no, azchus tolala, she's really going to die later. Never. So that's a shiloh. But others say no, she's going to get the exact death. That's Machlokas Tanaim. And then if she gets the exact death, like whatever it is, 8 months later, the exact way that she would have died now, like where things are bulging out, and she dies like that, and everyone sees that, then we know that was Chuz Tolala, and it would not be something which is going to be Motzi Laz on the water. Yeshus Chuz Tolala Shanachas. It could even up to 1 year. Yeshus Chuz Tolala Shanachas. Even some are 2 years. Yeshus Chuz Tolala Shanachas. Up to 3 years, it can be told that this Chuz can hold her off, that she won't die right away. She could delay her punishment up to 3 years. Mikanam Rabban Azir. Rabban Azir says, Chayav Adam Lalamat Bita Teira. A person is obligated. It's a shayla. Does it really mean obligated? Yes, but according to Meiri, no. It means that it's right. It's a correct practice to teach his daughter Torah. Why? Shemtishte, because if she drinks and she sees, hey, nothing happened to me. So if she knows Torah, then she'll know this halacha. Teda, she has chus toila. She'll know that this idea, that the fact that she has done other things that give her special chusim, special merits. So then that would be able to delay her punishment. If she doesn't know that, she's going to be motzilaz on the water. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kolamalamet is Bita Torah, Kilamalamet is Tiflus. Whoever teaches his daughter Torah, this is famous, teaches her Tiflus. Literally, Tiflus is a Shaila. It's literally joining together, meaning joined together with men. It's going to lead to not good things, basically. Rabbi Yeshua is going to lead to intimacy with men, not good things. She's going to learn how to figure out how to avoid the waters, how to avoid this and that, and be mezana and do other things, and she'll be able to get out of it because she knows the halachas. Rabbi Yeshua Aimer wrote to Isha Bekav Tiflos, Bintisha Kav Mishrishos. A woman would rather one kav and be physically intimate with her husband than 9 kavs be very rich and not be with him. The Gemara is going to discuss what this means later. So Sehuai Omer, the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yeshua, Chasid Shoita, Chasid is a Shota, Rasha Arum, and a Rasha who is very smart, you know, he's conniving. And Isha Purusha, and a woman who's very parish, she's not involved in the world. Umakos Prushin, and wounds of people who have the fake modesty, and they like injure themselves, they do all these different things. Arelim, Bala, Elim, these are people destroying the world. These are all things that are deceptive behavior. They're just fooling other people, and they're not doing anything productive. Okay, we'll get to what these mean later. The Gemara's not going to discuss this until not today's daf even. So the Gemara goes, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishim Rabbi Merik, Shaisi, Lama, Torah, Etzor, Rabbi Kiva. I learned Torah by Rabbi Kiva. Haisi, Matel, I put in this kankantum material, as we learned it out better on Daf Yud Zayin, into the ink, and I used that for writing the svarim. V'lo amar li davar, and he had no objection to my practice of doing this. Shabbatis or Bishmel, however, when I came to Bishmel, he told me, amar li b'ni ma'am alechtecha, what is your job? Amar li davar, and I said, I'm a sefer, I write svarim, sefer Torah, amar li astam, amar li b'ni havi zahir. He said, my son, be very careful, shemach mech ha-shamalim, you have a very kaddish job, shematach she-oisachas, u-tatir oisachas, very scary. If you're going to leave out one letter, you're going to add a letter, and that could actually nimtzas atamachem kolam kulay. If a result of that chas v'shem could destroy the world, meaning it could be a terrible courses that come out of that, right? Rashi quotes the pasuk says v'hashem lekim emes. If you leave out the word of aleph of emes, so then what comes out chas v'shem? Hashem elokim mes chas v'shem. That's terrible. And similarly, if you add to the word of bara, and breishis bara, so breishis bara, oh, it would be in plural, chas v'shalom, it would imply that there's more than one God. These are things that lead to alpic horses, to heresy, impaired. We don't, obviously, that could be a terrible thing. And he says, I have a thing that I put into the ink for kakantum shema, it's called kakantum. Armalir Bishmel said to me in this case, chimatilin kakantum toch hadyo, you'll have to do that? We're not allowed to do that. The Torah says, with regards to a sota, that she shall erase. That the coin should erase the waters. But we learned that it has to be ksav shechalim machos. It has to be something which is able to be erased. Therefore, kankantum may not be used as ink because it is not something which can be erased. So therefore, that's a shayla. What about that's for a regular sota? But what about the regular kol Torah kula for sifrei Torah and other things? So sometimes a low plug that this is a, since it's a din, it's a low plug, and therefore always you can never use kankantum. So the Gemara says, "My kamar lei, my kamar hadrei." What was Rabbi Shmuel saying, and what was Rabbi Meir responding back to him? How does Rabbi Meir's response that he adds kankantum to his ink is going to deal with Rabbi Shmuel's point that you should be very careful with your job of being a sofer? So the Gemara says, "No, this is the point." Hachi kamar lei. Rabbi Meir responded to him, "Lo mi boy b'chaseres v'yaseres." He said that I don't make mistakes, obviously, in adding letters or taking away letters. Devakian, I am very. I'm an expert, and I know every single word of the Torah. I'm a big expert in writing this form. But even what am I concerned of is a crazy possibility. Maybe a fly is going to come while I'm writing. I don't see on the other right where I just finished a letter and it's still a little wet. And what's going to happen? So the fly is going to come. He's going to come on the crown of the Dalet. The tag is the crown of the Dalet. He's going to raise the crown. And mashal reish, it's going to look like a reish. And therefore, it's going to change its meaning. In order to even have a chash that this one in a million chance will happen, what do I do? That's why I use this thing called kankantum, which is a very strong ink, which does not erase. And even if the ink is a little bit rubbed out, Rashi points out, so then it's going to, the original writing will still somewhat remain. And therefore, you'll not mistake the letter. So even I safeguard against that, and then Rabbi Shmuel was unhappy with that. The Gemara points out there ain't he, but v'ha'tanya, we learn in a brisa, Amar Rabbi Meir k'shiti lama Torah, it's Rabbi Shmuel. When I was learning Torah under Rabbi Shmuel, and he said, I ate the maita kankadot tochadiyo. He allowed me, I told him, v'lo amar li davar. I did the same thing, but Rabbi Shmuel was the first person, and Shmuel it's Rabbi Kiva asralai. So who was it? Did he first come to Rabbi Kiva and then Rabbi Shmuel asked him? Did he first come to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva asked him? Kasha shimush shimush. So the idea of who he learned by, first, and then who learned by second. The first price says Rabbi Meir, right, first learning by Rabbi Kiva, then subsequently getting another Rabbi of Rabbi Yishmael. Then the second price says the order is reversed. The first learned by Yishmael, then he went to Rabbi Kiva. So who was it? Kasha Asra Asra. So also, we have Machlokas. Who was the one who says it's Mutter? Who says it's Mutter? Asra. First price it's Rabbi Yishmael is one is Machmir, and the second price it's Rabbi Akiva is one is Machmir, and Rabbi Yishmael being Mekel. So who is it? So the Gemara says, Bishlam Hashimush Hashimush Lokasha. Now, the fact that who he learned by, that's not going to be a Kasha. We can answer. They're both true. Mikara Asa the Kamei Rabbi Kiva. First, he originally learned by Rabbi Kiva to learn by Rabbi Kiva. Kevin de Lamati the Kamei Libe. He couldn't figure out how was Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was such a brilliant person that he was giving all that stud him, like a real brisker shir. Like, it could be this, it could be that. And Rabbi Meir was having a hard time being Tofes. Who his opinion was, he was able to give so many stud him. It was very hard for him to come out like a psak halacha lemaisa. That's funny because Rabbi Meir himself was the one that Gemara says also that Rabbi Meir was so smart that we couldn't figure out his own shita, and that's why we don't pass like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Kiva, we don't really say that here. It's fascinating. Rabbi Meir himself, he couldn't understand Rabbi Kiva when he later had the same issue that we say about Rabbi Meir that we don't really pass like Rabbi Meir because we don't really understand. He was able to give so many tzadim, we couldn't fully ascertain what his kavana was. Rosh Hashanah was like to quote this and say that there was a gadol of Itzel Apanovitcher, and he was like the biggest genius in Europe, and everyone knows the biggest genius, but like we don't learn his sermon on Paskin like him because he has so many tzadim. He was always able to have so many tzadim that we never really got to the bottom of how he was able to give his psak. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says, "Also the Gemara Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara Gemara." So then he learned by Rabbi Shmuel, and he had a masorah for how to paskin. So the Gemara says, "Hadar also the Kamei Rabbi Kiva and Savar Sarva." Then after being able to master what he was able to learn, then he knew how to be able to learn. He was able to learn by Rabbi Kiva and understand Rabbi Kiva's two understanding. So that's what happened. So it really was 1, 2, 3. He went to Rabbi Kiva, went back to Rabbi Shmuel, then went back to Rabbi Kiva. So that's why he has this back and forth. Ella. So the Gemara says, which is also very interesting. We see that Rosh Hashanah points out also is that to really appreciate the Rav, he's like holding, like to see like his hanhagos. He was like when it comes to, you know, different gedolim, that like there was a Talmud, I forgot who, went to Rav Moshe. He was like learning Gates for like 15 years, and he knew, like, he's like, the way Rosh Hashanah describes it. Every time Rav Moshe sneezed, like, he did that. Like, that's what he was meant to do. He said, a lot of other Talmudim weren't on that level. They didn't understand that every cheshbon, every little thing that a gadol does, there's so much to learn from it, but you have to be holding. You have to understand, like, holding in the Dalek of Kishon Aruch, like they are, to understand so many different things of what they do. I see, I don't know anything. I'm not holding there at all, but I see Rav Nevin, so like, every little nugget, there's so many different things, so many small things that you just like, you notice that he does. Like, let's say, we'll give a small thing, we'll go weiter, is like, he always, whenever he washes Nutil Sudayim for a Suda, so he puts his hand in his shirt. So in order to be 100% that he's touching a Davar Mechusa, and therefore, because it's time to die, maybe his hands didn't touch anything that was not naki in the last time since he washed, and therefore he doesn't make a Safek Bracha. This is again, I don't think it's anchored in. And I said, it's like one small Naga, so that, okay, we'll figure it out. But other things, like, if you just walk with him, you'll see so many different things. Every little cheshbon, every little thing that he's doing is a Libud. So that's what happened to Rabbi Meir. Anyway, so the Gemara says, but Asr Kasha, but who was the one who answered it? In the first place, it was Rabbi Shmuel answering, in the second place, it was Rabbi Kiva answered. Who answered it? Who mattered it? The Gemara says, that in fact is Kasha. We don't know. That Masorah is difficult. You can't understand that one. We don't give an answer to that. Fine. Says the Gemara, Vaitar Tanya, we learn in Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yudah Meir, Lakom Matilim Kankantam Lechadio. For everything we could put kankantam into the ink, which we're writing for, chutz and parsha sota bivad, except for parsha sota, does not exist a kasuv that lo plug and you have to ask for anything. Only by sota, Rabbi Yaakov Amar Mishmael, chutz parsha sota shall mikdash. No, the sota in the mikdash. So the first one understood that the parsha of sota just in the way that the Torah is written. When you get a parsha's naso, that's when you have to write it and you can't use the deal. You can't use the kankantum. However, the Rabbi Yaakov says, no, only when the one you're writing for the actual sota, that one as well. My Benayis, the Gemara says, what exactly the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yaakov? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov, Limchok B'la Min HaTorah Ika Benayis. The Shaila is, are you allowed to use the regular passage in the Sefer Torah to be used towards to be used for the woman, to drink that? According to Rabbi Yaakov, you have to have a special parchment, and therefore, that's why you can't use the one in the Torah, so there's no Shaila, and therefore the one in the Torah has no problem. And however, the Rabbi Yehuda apparently holds, Rabbi Yehuda holds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can take the parsha out of the Torah and use it for the woman. But some verses, this is like machlokas we see by other tanaim. The scroll of the sota is not mut. You're not allowed to, you once used it for Sarah and she was she didn't drink anymore. She either admitted or whatever it was. So then we're not allowed to give it to somebody else. However, Rabbi Yoshia says you can. You're allowed to use it for somebody else. So therefore, we see that you don't need explicit intent lishma when writing the Sefer Torah portion of Naso. And if you wrote that up and you want to use that portion for the woman, you're allowed to. So the Gemara says, "Amar Papa Dimaloy," but that's not the machlokas. Adkan lokamar Tanakama Hasam. The Tanakama, the second brayso, who says that the when it comes to Megillah Sota, for one Sota is not allowed to use for another one. Elakevan to inkut l'shem Rachel. No, because it's worse than just Stam. It's you specifically used it for Rachel, and now, and Lohaja minka l'shem Leia. Now you can't use it for Leia, because you already had in mind you're using it for Leia, so for Rachel, so you already had in mind for the wrong person. Aval Torah, the stomachs of heaven, we're not going to say for Torah. You're just writing parshas Naso up, and you're practicing your Ksav. So you're writing, you didn't have any specific woman in mind. Maybe it might be that according to Nakam, we could also use it, and it wouldn't be a problem of Lishma. And therefore, the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak." Like also, another Dilma Lo'i. Also, we can explain the other reason we can explain that the Machlokas doesn't line up over here. Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rabbi Achai, Rabbi Yoshi Hasam Elam Megillah De'Ichtav L'Shum Alus Be'Oilam Aval Torah L'Islamet Ksiva Achanam De'Lamachkinan. No, when it comes to the specific, when it comes to a Megillah Sota, which you're using specifically for the curses of the Sota, so that case makes sense. So we say that you can't use that. However, when it comes to regarding a Sefer Torah, which is written for learning, you can't erase that. Chas v'shalom. It's used for yoni. You're not allowed to use it. And everyone would agree you're not allowed to use it. So therefore, we can't learn what each Tanaim would hold about this other machlokas. The Gemara points out, Rav Acha, Does Rav Acha Rioshi not agree? It's a beferish Mishnah, this halacha. The halacha of the Mishnah tells us when it comes to a get, a woman, Reuven wanted to divorce his wife, Sarah. And then you know what, Baruch Hashem, they went to the Rav, who was able to, or whoever was marriage counselor, he was able to work things out. So he already wrote the get, already hired the sofer. It said, write my get, Reuven divorcing Sarah. And what happened? They worked things out. So now you know, he wasted like $100 on the fee for the get. And he says, wait a second, oh, there's another guy, Reuven divorcing Sarah in Yerushalayim. There's another Reuven divorcing Sarah in Yerushalayim. Let me give him a get. And we have the same name, and let's use that get. So the Mishnah tells us, Pasul Lagarishbo, that get is invalid because you have to have it written Lishma, explicitly written for the woman that's being divorced. And you didn't have this Reuven in Sarah in mind. When the guy commissioned the sofer, he had in mind the first Reuven divorcing Sarah, and now you can't use it for another couple. So similarly, when it comes to the using on one sota, how can we not tell you that it's going to Rav Acha, Rav Yoshi, shouldn't it be Pasul Lekulyama? How can he tell me that it's okay? So the Gemara answers, "Amrei Hasam veKasav La Marachmana Bina Ksiva Lishma." When it comes to a get, the pasuk specifically says veKasav La, which we learn La is Lishma. Then the Reis says it has to be written for her Lishma to be written for the sake of the woman. That's from Masechet Gin, right there. That halacha. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami veAsala." No, but here also it says veAsala. You should do for her. Therefore, we see that the Megillah Sota also has to be written Lishma for the woman. So we're asking Akasha right now. So answers the Gemara. Maya Sia, what is the term of doing mean? It means mechika. It means erasing it. So according to Rav Acha, Rav Yoshia, that the Iker Lishma is erasing the Megillah. Writing the Megillah doesn't need to be in Lishma according to Rav Acha, Rav Yoshia. Obviously, the other time I disagree. Right? No, even the writing needs to be Lishma. But Rav Acha, Rav Yoshia holds that the actual erasing needs to be done Lishma, and that can be done after the point over here. Now let's go weiter. The Mishnah tells us, "Einam aspekas lishos ad shepanim rikos," that she didn't even finish drinking until everything was starting to bulge up and she was basically exploding. Money. Who is shita of this? Is that it tells us that the water takes effect immediately. Reb Shimon, he must be Reb Shimon, the Amar Makriv Minchas of Achar Kach Bashke, who says that the Kohen offers her mincha and afterwards he forces her to drink. The Kamen El Karva Minchasa for as long as her mincha had not been offered, Labad Gilamaya, the water wouldn't test her. The Chsev Mincha Zikaron Maskaras Avon, the mincha of a reminder of the Avera, so therefore she's going to be punished immediately after, only after the Korban is brought. So according to Rav Shimon, as soon as she drinks the water, she's going to be punished. The Mincha was already offered. The Gemara says, Ema Seifa, but the Hemshev of our Mishnah doesn't seem to line up with Rabbi Shimon, because our Mishnah tells us, Yeshas Chus, if she had some sort of merit that would hold her off on being punished, Ha'isla Tolaba, there's the concept of Chus Tolala, Ha'isla Rabbana, but that is against Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Amar is Chus Tolala Memamar. Rabbi Shimon, we're going to learn on Daf Chav Beis, on the Mishnah over there, Rabbi Shimon's going to tell us that this Chus is not Tolala for the Isha. She must die right away because it's going to be motzah laz on the water. So says Gemara Amar of Chista Hamani. It's not Rabbi Shimon and it's not Rabban, and rather it's Rabbi Akiva. It's a shita Rabbi Akiva to Amar Makriv and Mechaz of Akach Mashke. He holds like Rabbi Shimon the idea that the Kohen brings the mincha and only afterwards does she give her the water to drink. That's the machlokas between the Rabban and it was Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva versus the Rabban. So he agrees with Rabbi Shimon on that point. However, when it comes to Chus Tolala, he holds that there is a concept of Chus Tolala in argument with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So he holds like Rabbi Shimon in one respect and he disagrees with him in the other respect, and that is the shita of Rabbi Akiva. They take her out. So now the Gemara says, "My time. What's the reason that we hurry to take her out? The Dilma Mesa. Maybe she's going to die, and she's going to metame the Azara. So Mima de Mesa. But what's the problem? She's not. She's in the Harabayas area, and the Harabayas area is the Machane Shechina. Is the where the Mishkan was. Machane Levia was the second camp. Machane Yisrael. Now, corresponding to that, in the Beis Hamikdash, you have." You have Yerushalayim, which is the Machane Yisrael, right? Matzora can't be in Yerushalayim and things like that. Then you have the Machane Leviyah, which is the Har Habayis, and then there is the Machane Shechina. So the Ezra's Nashim, which is Shar Nikner was, it did not have the Kedusha of the Chatzor of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, a Tamei Meis would be allowed to come. But Tanya, as we see, Tamei Meis Mutter comes to Machane Leviyah. The Mishnah tells us, the Bryce tells us, that a Tamei Meis is allowed to enter the Machane Leviyah. Velo Tamei Meis Bilvad Amru, not just a Tamei Meis, but Elafila Meis Atzmo, even an actual dead body may be brought into Machane Leviyah. Where do we see this? By Moshe Rabbeinu. We just had this in the Dapim earlier, that Moshe Rabbeinu took Atzmos Yosef, Shenemar, Vayikach Moshe, Atzmos Yosef Mimo. Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef, he was rewarded that Akash Baruch himself buried him because of that. Imo b'mechitzasoi. So the word means, imo means he took a mamish with him where he was living, and he didn't want to leave it for a minute, he wanted to make sure he was doing the mitzvah properly. So we see that an actual mace is allowed to be brought into this area. So that's what we see over here. This is a very interesting thing because the Rishonim by the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, so the Rishonim seems to say that it's an Issur Derabanan to bring the mace there into the actual Har Bayis, and which would be interesting. Is it Tamei mace also according to this Tosfos Rabbeinu Nafkamina? We don't pass it like that. I don't think the Rambam is good on it that way because it's, that would be a Tamei mace can't come into anyone in Har Bayis, which we don't pass in the Chora. We don't say like that. Another reason to be Machmir, I guess, to allow anyone to go into Har Bayis, because Man Azeh is assuming that even a Tamei mace is a problem. Okay, either way, so that could be comes out of the Tosfos Shans if you look carefully. That what he says, but either way, so the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye Shema Tifras Nino." They were actually afraid that she's going to be scared of what's going on, and that scared her being scared is going to lead to her becoming a Nida. And a Nida is in fact Aser Nida Zav Zava, and Balkaria Aser in the Machane Levia as well. That they're Aser too. The Meimra Deviusa Marpia, that the fact that she's scared, it loosens her body in order to open herself up to become a Nida. The Gemara says, "Is that really true?" The Gemara says, "Yeah, and it is." Tichseva Tichalchel Malka Meoid. It says that the Esther Malka, she is vatechachel. She became very afraid. And the Gemara says, "Be'amarav she pierced a nida. She became so afraid of what was happening. She began to become a nida." But wait a second. We have a mission that says that the person who's scared, it like holds the body in. It makes the woman not bleed and not become a nida. Pachadat samtis. The Gemara says that if it's not sudden, you're right. That would hold her. If it's just a long-standing fear, she's afraid of something. It's not a sudden pachad. It's something that she's been afraid of already a few weeks. So that will lead her to not have nida. However, if it's a sudden fear, something which happens quickly, that which would cause her to be able to become a nida. Okay, fine. Says the Mishnah Vayter. So the Gemara asks, Mani Masnisen, who is the author of our Mishnah who says that it can even hold her up to 3 years? Lo Abi Yossi ben Chanan, velo Rabbi Lazar ben Itzchok ish Kfar Darom. It's not these two shitas that we're going to, velo Rabbi Shmuel, not Rabbi Shmuel, that we're going to see in the following Braisa. Desanya, we have a Braisa which says, and that, the reason we ever asked this question is because the Gemara is assuming that we have a Masorah in a different Braisa, attributing who these shitas are. We don't see this opinion quoted in that Braisa. Why not? Why isn't that opinion quoted over there? That's why the Gemara always asks this question of Mani Masnisen will quote this Braisa and say it doesn't follow in his opinions, because there we have a name for the opinions, and it's very weird that our Mishnah doesn't tell us who it is. Desanya, so the Braisa tells us, Im yesh eschus tolala shloshen chadashim. It would hold her up to 3 months. Kidei akar su'uba, that's the furthest she could have for his chusim. Divrei Abba ben Yossi ben Chanan, Rabbi Lazar ben Eshat Akshkar Darom, he says, Teshach Adashim, no 9 months, Shinemar v'nikta v'zir Zara, that she'll be able to have children. V'alan Omer, Zara yafden yusupar, the Pasuk says that the seed is serving those who would tell, but literally that's what the Pasuk says. The Gemara is learning, yusupar is lashon yisaper, she'll be able to tell. Zara roi l'saper, so she'll be able to tell the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fetus is developed for 9 months, so that's the longest she could have for Schus Tolar. Bishmol Omer, Shnei Masar Chodesh, for 12 months. How? Alpha Bishin Raya Ladavar, there's no Raya, there's a Zech Ladavar. Dechsev Lahen Malkam, the Pasuk in Daniel. Daniel, this is after talking about after Daniel had interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. This is the dream of the tree that he had, and it was going to be a warning for him because he had made an Avodah Zarah, and he was going to be, and Hashem was very upset with it. So Nebuchadnezzar, you have to live with animals. Daniel then advised Nebuchadnezzar that he could possibly, if you give Tzedakah, you'd be able to avoid this. So the Pasuk said, Lahen Malka, so the king said, Malki Yishbo Chalav, maybe advice be good for you. Your sins should be done with giving, to be able to give Tzedakah, and you're being nice to the Anian, to the poor people. That will be able to extend your punishment. You're not going to be punished right away. So the Gemara says, Uvichsiv Kula Muta al Nebuchadnezzar Malka. And it says, all these punishments that were told in a dream happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Chsiv l'ktas yarchin treyasar. When did it happen? Only after 12 months. So we see that because he listened to Daniel and he had Maisa Tzedaka, so it was held for 1 year. So that's what we learned from over here. Okay, the Gemara is going to pick up Lomar Mishmael. Baz Hashem will pick up with that answer in Mirza Shem tomorrow. But the point is that we have only three shitas. We have 3 months, 9 months, and 12 months. Nowhere in our Mishnah does it say 3 years. So how is it? Who is our shita? Who are we trying to figure out? Who is the author of our Mishnah that says that? So the Gemara is going to come on to the answer. Lomar Mishmael. Baz Hashem. We'll get to that in tomorrow's daf.